It seems investigating murders in South Carolina's Lowcountry is really turning into a thing. That's why we've created another podcast focusing specifically on the murder of Stephen Smith. We, of course, have continuing coverage for you on the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. But if you want a channel exclusively dedicated to the coverage of the investigation and finding justice for Stephen Smith, be sure to search and press subscribe to The Murder of Stephen Smith. Search that wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe as we bring you daily coverage of the investigation into the murder of Stephen Smith and the quest for justice. Search The Murder of Stephen Smith wherever you get podcasts. Hope you're having a great weekend. This is our week in review, a look back at some of the most compelling stories we've covered for you in the last 7 days. Brand new episodes back Monday, right here. In 2015 and 2016, the neonatal unit at the Countess of Chester Hospital in England experienced a shocking surge in infant mortality rates.
As authorities worked to uncover the cause of the tragedy, nurse Lucy Letby came under suspicion. Arrested 3 times over a period of 2 years, Letby now stands trial, accused of 8 murders and 10 attempted murders of babies under her care.
With allegations ranging from injecting air into babies' veins to using insulin to end their lives, the case has captivated the nation and sparked a fierce debate over medical malpractice and the duty of care owed to vulnerable patients.
Hear the full story on our new podcast, Nurse of Death, available wherever you get podcasts.
Search and press subscribe so you don't miss any of the chilling details in this shocking story. Search Nurse of Death right now and press subscribe where you get podcasts.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
The story of Stephen Smith is one that certainly deserves to be told. And if you're just checking in with us and just starting to learn about this case, I want to say welcome, because it is quite a story. A story that has many, many tentacles and a lot of unanswered questions. But finally, it feels as if we're getting somewhere in terms of people answering these questions and paying attention to a man who was murdered, not a hit and run, and all the obvious signs were there, but it seemed to have taken Alec Murdaugh's murdering of his wife and son to unrelated crimes, so to speak, for anyone to go and say, maybe we should look a little bit further into this. Now, I want to say this. This is not a piece where we're going to be accusing Buster Murdaugh of anything. He has flat out said, I had nothing to do with this. And unless the investigation leads that way, we're just going to go on that. But investigations do tend to go in many directions, and they do sometimes go in directions of people who deny things. Take Alec Murdaugh, for example. Denied a lot of involvement in things, and then, look what happened there. But that is not what we are doing here. We're telling the story of Stephen Smith. We're going to talk about the complexities in this investigation and the connections that have been raised, both rumor and fact, in his death. So let's start there. Let's go back to that warm night on July 8th, 2015, when the tranquility of Sandy Run Road, which was near the Murdaugh estate, wasn't so tranquil. Stephen Smith, he was a young man with a bright future. He was found dead with a blunt force trauma injury to his head. Of course, no one could have known that this gruesome discovery would lead to a tangled web of suspicion, whispers, and a relentless pursuit of the truth. As the sun rose on that fateful day, Stephen's body lay motionless in the road, his injuries perplexing investigators at the scene. His torso untouched. No car parts found at the scene. Yet, the young man was believed to have walked 3 miles in the dark without using his phone, leaving his wallet behind in his car. And just hitting the road and going for a walk and getting hit. Yeah. Doesn't seem all that likely. Plus, there's no physical evidence of a actual hit and run. There's no evidence of him being hit by a vehicle. Stephen's mother, Sandy, could not fathom the idea of her son abandoning his wallet and his phone, wandering the roads, not even calling his sister, in the middle of the night. Not something Stephen did. Yet, investigators in South Carolina's Lowcountry, yes, also known as Murtaugh Country, initially ruled it as a hit and run. The case took a peculiar turn when highway patrol officers found inconsistencies with a road traffic accident, saying, yeah, I know locally you said it was a hit and run, but doesn't really look like that. We're going to mark it as unknown. How about that? Or hit and run. But we're not going to go into murder, even though it looked like a body was laying in the middle of the road. Did someone have some influence on that ruling? Someone that would not want an investigation done at the time of the crime, which may reveal evidence pointing in a specific direction to someone or multiple people who may be involved with murdering this young gay man in South Carolina's Lowcountry and leaving his body in the middle of the road. Would they want something covered up? Would they want this person just gone? So what they viewed as shame may not fall upon one's family. Many questions to be asked of not only just the prominent families in the area, or not just one single prominent family in the area. Oh no, there's multiple people who could possibly be involved in this case if, in fact, the motive for murdering Stephen was to avoid shame of alleged relationships that some would view as wrong or inappropriate because they were homosexual. Things run a little differently in South Carolina's Lowcountry and are obviously not quite as accepting as the rest of society. It took many years, but just this last week, Stephen's family announced the decision to exhume his body for a private autopsy. Not really trusting the original one. After raising $60,000. Keep in mind, the original incident report painted a very chilling picture. Assistant Coroner Kelly Green showed photographs of the grisly scene, pointing to the entry point of a gunshot wound to the head and a defensive wound to the hand. The report also mentioned a hole in Stephen's skull above his right eye, contradicting the hit-and-run theory. But we don't want to talk about that. The whispers in the small town grew louder. Rumors of a connection between Stephen and powerful family circulated. Some even alleged that there may be someone involved there. Since that time, anyone alleged has vehemently denied those vicious rumors. Sandy Smith, who's Stephen's mother, said he was a victim of a hate crime and the murder was covered up. Initially, investigators found no evidence of a vehicle accident, yet tips were pouring in suggesting a relationship between Stephen and another individual who was not known to the community as being gay. Despite the murmurs of these individuals, no one was ever brought in for questioning. And they were just that. Rumors in a small town. Rumors in a small town have a funny way of spreading and not always necessarily being factual, but rumors are rumors. Sometimes they lead to a shred of proof. Sometimes they lead to the whole proof or truth. And sometimes they lead absolutely nowhere. There's no evidence other than rumors at this time that's been revealed to point to any one individual truly being involved in the death of Stephen Smith. The spotlight has, of course, now returned to Stephen's case with renewed vigor, with the recent conviction of Alec Murdaugh, Buster's father, for the double murder of his wife and son. Authorities are looking into the mysterious death. SLED, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, officials announced they're convinced Stephen's death was a homicide and will participate in the exhumation of Stephen's body and the new autopsy. More questions will inevitably continue to rise. Could Alec Murdaugh somehow be embroiled in this homicide investigation close to where he once lived? Alec Murdaugh, a man capable of cold-blooded murder, is currently serving a life sentence for the deaths of his wife and son. And let's not forget, Alec Murdaugh has been accused and, in some cases, found guilty of being very capable of trying to cover up crimes. Much like the murder of his wife and son. The 2019 boating accident involving his son Paul Murdaugh, which resulted in the death of 19-year-old Mallory Beach. Paul facing 3 felony counts at the time of boating under the influence. But Alec trying to shift the blame to his friend. Allegations of financial misconduct even surfacing after the shooting incident involving Alec Murdaugh in September of 2021, accused of embezzling millions of dollars from his law firm, leading to his resignation. Covered up that for a while. The 2018 death of Gloria Statterfield, Murdaugh family housekeeper who died in a trip and fall accident. Alec was later involved in a scheme to defraud millions of dollars from an insurance settlement intended for Satterfield's family. Oh, and let's not forget this little fact either. Alec Murdaugh and his brother Randy, they came to the scene of Stephen Smith's death. Going through the crime tape, no one's really sure why the brothers were there. Inconsistencies in the initial investigation have left many wondering why his death was never investigated as a homicide, but Randy and Alec were in fact at the scene, taking pictures, eventually being asked to leave. According to Sandy Smith, Randy Murdaugh called the family following Smith's death, offering to help however he could. However, through words, his law firm has since disputed that, putting out a statement denying that it ever happened. Denial is an interesting thing with the Murdaughs. Stephen Smith's father died 3 months after his son. Sandy Smith said her ex-husband died of a broken heart. He also went to the grave believing that he knew who was involved in the murder of Stephen Smith. Will his beliefs be proven right is the question as the investigation begins to take full force.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Thoughts? You can give them to us. We have a phone number for that. 888-5-KILLER 888-554-5537 to weigh in. on this or any case we are following for you. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any breaking updates and discussion as we bring it to you right here. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.